Introduction: Waking up to a victim-based society. We're facing an epidemic in our society. Everywhere you turn, there are victims. Victims of discrimination, victims of violence, victims of crime, victims of divorce, victims of this and victims of that. Am I out of touch, or does it seem like the percentage of the population today that can relate to being a victim is much higher than it was 5 or 6 decades ago? If so, are there really more bad things happening now than there were during the lives of our grandfathers and great-grandfathers? Knowing history as I do, I can tell you, I don't think so. I'm not trying to be callous with this observation. I don't think we've evolved into a world of wimps or sissies. The reality is that this world is a hard place. Bad, and I mean really bad things happen to people every moment. Take those three women in Cleveland who were held prisoner for over a decade. They were the victims of an evil man bent on having his own way, no matter what the cost. And what about the families of the children killed in the various school shootings that have happened over the years? They were victims of deranged individuals who held such a poor belief in the sanctity of life that murdering innocent children didn't even seem to faze them. Then there's the loved ones of those people who showed up for work one day at the World Trade Center buildings in New York. They were the victims of a senseless belief that those who don't believe in a particular God are not worthy of life. I am in no way saying that it is bad to be called a victim when bad things happen to us. This book is not a slam against those who have faced terrible circumstances and found a way to survive. Those people are to be surrounded by society, and their recovery is to be looked at as examples for us all to follow. The characteristic traits of people who get knocked down and somehow pull themselves back up again are the kinds of traits we need to be promoting. But what I'm saying is that it appears to me that our society has shifted to a point where being a victim is seen as something admirable, something with perks and advantages, something that the mainstream wants to have without having to go through the terror of those women in Cleveland, or the pain of those parents of dead school children, or the horror that families felt as they saw those buildings crumble down on their loved ones on that clear, crisp September day in 2001. No, being a victim hasn't changed over the decades. Bad things have happened to people throughout the ages and will continue to happen until the final chapter closes. There will always be victims of evil and demented thinking and misrepresentations of good in this world. What I feel is different about victimhood in today's society is that our perspective on what a victim is has shifted radically to celebrate the belief that we all are victims in one way or another. The danger of victim thinking. There are some serious consequences to adopting the thinking that we all are victims. First of all, we devalue those who have been truly victimized by the evil in this world. If everyone is a victim of something, then we are saying that those women who were traumatized for 10 years in Cleveland are no more worthy of assistance, compassion, and restoration than someone who has gotten a splinter from having an improperly sanded door installed in their new house. That's totally unacceptable and leads to further devaluing of life such that more and more Cleveland-type incidents might just be the result. The second consequence to adopting an approach of universal victimhood in society is the tremendous assault to our psyche that living the life of a victim creates. There's actually a psychological condition that is being studied called victim syndrome. Victim syndrome can manifest itself in the thought, either perceived or real, that bad things always happen. When those feelings are left unchecked, the victims of victim syndrome can actually become victimizers themselves. In extreme cases, they might be guilty of unleashing anger and hurt upon others in their circles so as to help mask the feeling of loss of control that has been caused by bad things in their own lives. All this is a result of the belief that they will always be victims. Victimhood has become their very identity. This is incredibly bad for the individual and for society as a whole. That's what I see as different about the world we live in today. Victims are everywhere, not just the victims of serious actions, but people who seek reconciliation and restoration for even the most minor of offenses. We are on the verge of allowing victimhood to define who we are, and I believe this limits us in some powerful and significant ways that we will touch on later in this book. Why is this happening? I have a couple of suggestions as to what has fueled this change in society. First of all, freedom plays a big role in victimization becoming so universal. We are fortunate to live in a free society where choices abound. I believe that this freedom paves the way for an interesting thing to happen. As we begin to take the cost of our freedoms for granted, any perceived or actual limitations on what we want to do are seen as a personal assault resulting in victimhood. Here's an example. Here in the San Diego area, a middle-aged man abducted a 16-year-old girl, killing her mother and brother. There was an Amber Alert issued as a result of this abduction. An Amber Alert is a statewide broadcast of the details of the perpetrator when a minor is involved, in hopes the public can help resolve the situation as quickly as possible. Unfortunately, Amber Alerts happen way too frequently in our state. What was different this time was that the Amber Alert went out over the cell phone system in addition to other methods. I remember getting the bejeez scared out of me when that alert came across my phone. Since this was the first time an Amber Alert had been issued across the cell network, I think they had some issues with how many times the alert went out and when the alert was broadcast. For some, the alert came in the middle of the night. I know it must have been a rude awakening for those whose phone made that terrible and frightening sound at 1 a.m. Where this story really relates to what I'm talking about is the fact that there was an incredible buzz on social media the next day about how bad that alert was. In many cases, people actually felt they were victimized by the powers that be by having been awakened from their comfortable sleep. I understand the angst of being suddenly awakened by a god-awful noise coming from your phone, but victimized? Really? Can you for a moment compare your momentary discomfort of being jolted from your bed to that of a 16-year-old girl losing her mother and brother, being kidnapped and abused? That's the beauty and the danger of freedom. It can be taken for granted. With freedom comes ease. With ease comes complacency. With complacency comes the feeling that anything that challenges that ease is an assault, and that creates victims. That's the kind of victim I'm talking about in this book. So the incredible easy freedom we experience in our lives is one reason for the universal victimization of our society today. I believe another is the reality that we have become and are becoming more and more of an instant gratification-driven, self-centered society. Did you know there is actually a disorder that describes this situation as well? NPD, Narcissistic Personality Disorder, is a disorder in which people have an inflated sense of their own importance and a deep need for admiration. Universal victimization isn't happening because we all have NPD. NPD is another example of the extreme of what can happen when we choose to let victimization become a significant part of our identity. Universal victimization is happening more and more because of the reality that we are becoming too comfortable with our own importance and put too high a stress on the need for being valued through admiration. Those who suffer from NPD are ripe for universal victimization. How? Say, do, or project anything that can possibly be misconstrued as deflating the NPD sufferer's self-importance or in any way diminishes their admiration and voila, instant victim. In that case, we all suffer from NPD. How do you feel if someone devalues you or you aren't the center of attention? That feeling is natural, but if that natural feeling takes you to a place where you think of yourself as being victimized over trivial matters, then you've crossed the line into victim thinking. Continue to cross this line over and over again, and victimhood becomes entrenched in your identity. Just look at how we're training the next generation of NPD sufferers. You don't have to go any further than children's sports to see what is happening. A professor of psychology at San Diego State University and co-author of the book, The Narcissism Epidemic, Living in the Age of Entitlement, Gene Tweeg says it this way. The concept of everyone is a winner has become so commonplace these days that it's almost expected. You show up, you do terrible, you sit on the bench, and everyone's trophy is the same size. No one keeps score, no one corrects mistakes. There can't be any winners so as to make sure no one feels like a loser. No one really wants to make another person feel like a loser. What people fail to realize is that no one can make me feel like anything. I have to choose to feel that way. If I lost, I'm not a loser, I simply lost. It is very unlikely that I was a victim of poor judging or unfair circumstances. It might just be the simple fact that someone was better than me. That doesn't make me a loser. It makes me human. There will always be someone better than me in some regard. That's just the odds when living in a society with billions and billions of sample points called people. An algebra lesson. I once was tutoring a friend's high school student in algebra. He had some learning disabilities that made attention to detail an issue. With algebra, detail is sometimes very necessary. He and I spent 4 or so hours one day reviewing the chapters that he had for an upcoming test. We agreed on some study techniques he might want to adopt and broke down the information covered into manageable bite-sized pieces that he could tackle. Then we practiced problems using the techniques we discussed. I left him with the direction to do what we had just done over and over again for each problem type for the next 2 days. I told him this would take time, time he had failed to invest earlier. He was going to have to sacrifice significant time now in order to get a decent grade on his upcoming test. A week or so later, I called to see how he did on his test. He got a D. Ouch. Maybe he was the victim of a bad math tutor. Though I may not be an expert in teaching algebra, I don't think this was the case. When I talked to the boy's parents, they told me how stupid their son felt. Worse than that, he was beginning to think he was just a hopeless, stupid student. Full-blown victimization was setting in fast. I asked the parents if we could get together again so that I could talk to the boy. They agreed. A couple of days later, I asked him, "What happened?" He said, "I blew it. I just froze. I couldn't finish the test," a common issue I've seen with students with this kind of learning disability. I asked him, "How do you feel?" With a brave sincerity that you don't always see in teenage boys, he said, "I feel so stupid. I just can't get this stuff, and I don't think I ever will." I asked him one more question. "Did you work the techniques we talked about for each of the sections you had to study? In other words, did you invest the time you needed to in order to get the information into your brain?" His answer, "No." At that point, I just smiled. I knew we were at a turning point. I said to this young man, "You are right to feel stupid. It was stupid of you not to do what we discussed." I think this caught him a little off guard, but I wasn't in the mood to hand out a ribbon to this young man for coming in last. I went on to say, feeling stupid isn't necessarily a bad thing. What is bad is if we believe we are stupid. It was stupid of you to not do what we did in practice. Simply doing over and over again what we practice is how you learn. You have to repeat what you know works for you in order to get this stuff. But if you think your identity is that of a stupid person simply because you did something stupid, you're choosing to believe a lie. Now, if you continue to do that same stupid thing over and over again, then you run the risk of taking on the identity of a stupid person. He really took hold of that concept. On his next test, he earned a B. What I do does not define my identity. I'm not stupid because I did one stupid thing. I'm not a loser because I lost a race. I'm stupid if I think I can choose to do nothing and get a good grade. I'm a loser if I think I can just show up and compete with athletes who have trained more fully than I chose to do. I can always improve on my performance in anything I choose if I'm willing to put in the work required to make a difference. Universal victimization is happening because we have an incredibly easy freedom that enables us to take that freedom for granted and focus on ourselves in ways that makes us feel that we are victims at every turn in the road. Universal victimization is making it possible for the characteristics of victim to be incorporated into the very makeup of who we are. Not only is that bad for the individual, it is devastating to society. Oh, but there's another way. There is the identity of a victor. Making the characteristics of a victor part of our identity is dependent on one thing, choice. The fact is that we will always face challenges in this life, serious and deeply hurtful challenges that will victimize us in one way or another. What I'm presenting in this book is the possibility of being able to walk as a victor, even when the problems that work to crush us make us look like victims every step of the way. How do we get to this point? I believe the first step is knowing who we are. Identity is the key to living a life of victory when the world is trying to get us to settle for being victims.